I've been to Karnak, and I think it was in Karnak that I had a very strange experience with a statue of Sekhmet, which is quite a famous statue, and I didn't know that at the time. And like I said to you before we got on record, I'm actually usually a bit of an eye roller with people who are like, oh my god, I can feel the energy of this place. Holy shit, there's something going on there. I've been recording everything in Egypt, like every site. I've been trying to get as much video as I could. And I remember when they said that they were going to let us into this area where this statue of Sekhmet is. And my friend was like, this is actually quite a special area. Like a lot of people say that they get a feeling. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know, a lot of people always say they get a feeling. And anyway, so I was going in with my camera and I came around the corner into that very plain. And I love how it's done because it's such a, like a plain square room with sand on the floor and a beam of light coming down like an Indiana Jones film that's illuminating this big statue of Sekhmet. But literally the moment I came around the corner with my camera and turned it onto the statue, my arm just fell down. Like literally my arm just fell down and I just was staring at this statue, and it felt like the statue was locked onto me. I actually did start to get this very strange inertial feeling of almost being pulled towards it, and my like vision kind of narrowed and focused just on the statue. And it was only when my friend was like, hey dude, we're leaving now, and grabbed me by the shoulder, I was like whoa, hang on a second, I was in a trance. And then the people next to me reported the same thing and said, did you get a feeling like it was locking onto you? And I was getting goosebumps from that, because that was the first time in my life that I'd ever truly felt the energy of something like so many people claim. And there's been camera anomalies taking photos of that, and I don't know what it's made out of, but there's something going on with that, right?
That's if you talk to anyone, it's probably more than any other statue in all of Egypt, the yeah. one that is most considered most alive. In fact, some locals believe that they lock that shrine room at Karnak because otherwise Sekhmet tears through the village.
We'll get out.
You know, is as in her lioness form. Yeah, I could list endless stories that one of my friends went in there and didn't quite respect that statue and suddenly got a random nosebleed out of nowhere, or very ill. Same like some of the effects of these curses or this.
What do you think's going on there then? What do you think explains that?
The locals believe this is actually the spirit. This is Sekhmet is the she's a force of guardianship for very much like the Sphinx, Mehit, this original lioness that was Mehit, that was called Mehit, was this, the lioness is, that energy is like, what better energy do you want to guard sacred knowledge than a mother lion who will shred to pieces anyone who is threatening her children, but who will guard her children better than anyone. So you need an energy that can differentiate between these. And this is, you know, in the history, the, you know, that is Sekhmet's role, is as this protector of the sacred knowledge of Egypt. And it's, you can almost see the name Kemet in her name, Sekhmet. That's the name of Egypt. It's, she's the protector of that. And you can also see Mehit in that name too, Sekhmet. And she is also a lioness, just like Mehit, who is this guardian over the library in northern Egypt. So she's the differentiation. You need Sekhmet's permission, basically. And never, ever disrespect that statue. Just don't, you know, I'll tell anyone that's listening.
There's so many statues of Sekhmet, though. That's the thing. Why is this statue so resonant and strong with an energy?
That's her official shrine room. That's her official, her sanctuary.
Kind of the OG shrine room for her.
That's her, yeah, domain, basically, where she most centered. But you do see Sekhmet or Mut, which is similar. But I've seen like 20 of them. You know, at the Vatican Library, Museum, I mean, where the pine cone is, and there's the big, you know, this is all a metaphor for the pineal gland, and it's inside a white dome, which is, that's like the inside of a skull, the white dome around it, and the lions and the peacocks, this is all part.
They know exactly what's going on, my man. Like, you know, the Vatican has got a lot of this information. I mean, the very fact that they can have something like the secret archives, which I'm not sure if you're aware, but it's like multi-kilometers. It's like 30 kilometers of shelving to store all of the texts and, you know, the different artifacts. It's phenomenal to me that that's even allowed and permissible.
Talk about some of the reasons why some people on Earth don't want this SAR technology coming forward. A lot of people hide a lot of things underground, you know. But what I'm saying here is like they have, if you go behind that dome where the pine cone is, it's the Vatican Museum right there. If you walk behind all around it, there are like 15 or so Sekhmet statues there, all taken from Egypt, lining all the way around the back of it and the inside of the building. People don't realize that. And they're all in like a red room, actually, which is like, it looks like you're looking at into a brain kind of, whereas on the outside it's white like you're on the inside of a skull. So, yeah, I seeing these Sekhmet statues at the Vatican, I was like, I'm sorry, Sekhmet, I don't know why you're here. I don't know why they stole you here, and why they thought that the guardian whose job it is to protect against those who take this knowledge and don't deserve it, is very. There's levels of irony here and levels of ownership, claiming to have some type of power over these statues and like I said, like objects of occult power is how they look at it. These things that have been so venerated and worshipped and honored, the more consciousness and intention that's been paid to a statue, the more power it does have.
I was watching it like, this dude is on one. He's just down there on his own. That's impressive, man. Like, you know, the hats off to you for actually doing that. All the armchair skeptics sitting there saying this, that, and the other. Here's a guy that's literally getting the sand in his fingernails and going down into the tunnels and finding it.
This dirt that is now blocking up that tunnel is it wasn't there at first. There's hundreds of gated entrances and shafts on the plateau itself. Shafts just full of sand, shafts that are gated, doors that go into cliff sides that are gated. And that was my point. People don't realize how many entrances there are right on the plateau.
Some of the footage, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen any of this footage before of these different entrances, you know, going into these places, into the tunnel to actually get the evidence. Yes, it's blocked off. There is more to this. Again, guys, the ancient stories, the relatively contemporary stories from early archaeologists and explorers, like this is something that seems to have been very quickly hushed up in the modern era.
It's real. There are these energy fields where if you enter into them, it's going to make you sick. There are these pockets that are, it's like radiation almost. You walk into and you get sick. These tunnels were, it was unbelievable. They were full, I mean, they're 10, 12 feet wide and tall, square.
What?
The Vatican Museum, where the pine cone is, and there's the big, you know, this is all a metaphor for the pineal gland and.
They know exactly what's going on.